Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show podcast. Think of it like a magazine or a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. From politics to pop culture, healthcare to legal issues, it's all here. And my behind-the-wheel chats are personal observations created especially for you on podcast only. Enjoy.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The world is not learning anything. We have seen that you and I went through certain experiences. If anyone had told us in 1945 that there are certain battles we'll have to fight again, we wouldn't have believed it. Right. Racism, anti-Semitism, starvation of children, who would have believed that? At least I was convinced then naively that at least something happened in history that because of, let's say, Auschwitz, certain things will not happen again. I was convinced that hatred among nations and among people perished in Auschwitz. It didn't. The victims died, but the haters are still here, new ones. And so often I say to myself, really, what are we doing on this planet? We are passing the message as well as we can. Communicating our fears, our hopes, and day in, day out, week after week and year after year, people kill each other. The world.
That's just a little bit from a recent sort of a reel that I came upon. That was the voice of Elie Wiesel, the great humanitarian and writer, survivor of the Holocaust, who lived to write about it and become a symbol of humanity and the hope for empathy and understanding across cultures and peoples. And Wayne Winston joins us every single Wednesday, and we talk a lot about history of racism, how it has seeped into our everyday life. Lately, we've been talking an awful lot about anti-Semitism as it has erupted in America in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. And I just thought that those words, they sort of settled me down. Wayne Winston, welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, Lisa, it's been a minute since we've been, a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it feels like
I know.
A couple of months.
It was,
man,
my cocoon. So, it was extraordinary.
Hey, the fam, it's so important to take care of the fam these days. You know, you have, you know, the whole mental wellness thing that we need these days. So whatever brings you that peace, it's critical to do. So I'm glad that.
You know, I was at dinner last night with a really close friend, and we were sitting with a group of people, and they asked me about my experience, which was, you know, spending a lot of time with Joanna and this newborn baby. And then I went to see my parents at the tail end in Boca. My mom is doing better, thankfully. And I just felt really nourished. And he said to me, my friend Mark, he said to me, well, you know, you've changed. Your brain has changed. And you want to keep that change for as long as you can.
Mm.
And he was right, actually. The brain changed a little bit.
And this time that we're talking about with the anti-Semitism, the anti-LGBTQ, the attacks on Black people, as he brought up, you know, 1945, you're saying, hey, this should be the end. It was supposed to be the war to end all wars, you know, quote, the greatest generation. I can understand his perspective. As a Black person, though, the ironic thing is that in 1865, 2 years after Lincoln signs the Emancipation Proclamation, the Ku Klux Klan is born, 80 years before then. And that continues with these laws of hate, dehumanization against black people, which even then had started to include Jewish people in that doctrine much more later, because at that point they were fighting Reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why our perspectives in America versus, you know, historically what has happened around the world, this is the country where things like that should not have happened. This was the place where it was supposed to be a bastion of society to end the ills that happened in England.
We lost 600,000 soldiers in the Civil War. You would think that America, after that, would have laid down its swords for a while and been able to gulp and say, let's have some peaceful times. But you're right. Within a minute and a half, it started back up again. A minute and a half. Oh, they're free? Well, they're not really free. We don't really want them to be free.
It's hard to give up power and control. I had a recent discussion about this during Black History Month with some students at Housatonic. And I had a young black man, by the way, and he says, you know, a lot of people are feeling, you know, we're in a place now that nobody owes anything. So, you know, everybody's had the same opportunity. And I said, you know, just understand one of the most powerful things about America that it empowered its people with was opportunity and land. You know, at some point we even gave that land away in the Midwest and further out. We weren't part of that. Mm-hmm. That's generational wealth. Imagine if black families were able to be treated at the same time to that same opportunity. We would have a whole different economic system.
Mm-hmm. We would still have some chronic poor, but hopefully it wouldn't be about color lines.
Absolutely.
That's right. Because there's always going to be some chronic poor. That's what it is. But yes. You know, Wayne, there was a remarkable article, which I know I sent you offline, but those of you who are listening today, 203-333-9422, a remarkable article in the New York Times Magazine section about the history of the civil rights, written by a woman at Howard University, a professor who was the founder of the 1619 Project. I think her name is Nicole Hanna. And she's become quite famous in circles of black history.
Yes.
And it was a very well-researched, really in-depth piece. But what was extraordinary to me is that in tracing affirmative action, specifically affirmative action, through Lyndon Johnson, she says that affirmative action was intended to remedy the specific people who happened to be black, but within people of the color black, they were African Americans descended from slavery.
Yes.
And that it was that group that was the strongest argument and was, in fact, the winning argument.
Mm-hmm.
That is why affirmative action came to be. And she writes, with some degree of, I thought, candor and honesty, that in the ensuing decades, that's been watered down a little bit.
Yes.
That's been expanded a little bit to anybody of color, period, of any color, and not really looking at a historically disadvantaged people versus some immigrant groups that come that are black. There are groups from Haiti, there are groups from Nigeria, there are groups from Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and they don't have the same baggage necessarily.
Yes.
They have a family that's very intact.
Yes.
They may have some educational advantages of a class system coming from those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have sort of the historical relegation of having been ground down for 200 years.
Yes.
As individuals, I mean.
Absolutely.
And what she suggests is that if we're going to rethink affirmative action and gut it, which apparently the Supreme Court wants to do,
yes,
that you can make still a very persuasive argument that this group of black people or of mixed race people that are descended from slavery are still entitled to favorable treatment from America. What do you think about that?
Well, that goes with, if you're going to have a remedy, and obviously you're an attorney, I'm not, the remedy is usually, it's for the people who were aggrieved.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
For the people who were harmed. So with the Supreme Court purposely defining black people throughout our the founding of the country in this Constitution, you know, we're three-fifths of a man, so we're not really human beings, you know. We're owned as property. We're listed as property. You know, we're denied opportunities to even marry who we want and be controlled and owned. And when we get to that process, it's like, well, if we're going to say none of that means anything, then it says, well, when did black people get a chance to own white people, buy them, sell them, and work for them? That never happened. These things were specifically against black people. And once slavery was, quote, you know, abolished, 1865, again, the KKK is born, to continue on to go, we're not giving up this power and control over you. So then that's how we get all the laws that come in that say they can take your land when you want, they can pay what you want. We weren't in control of our bodies, our safety. You know, we had the whole, all the lynchings that were going on. That was all a power structure thing. And it was specifically against black people. So if you go through all of those years, even in a small amount, if you're talking money, what would that be worth for a family?
So do you think that she makes an argument that you think intellectually is a good one, or do you reject it on the ground that no, people are discriminated against because of the color of their skin, regardless of their history, and therefore there needs to be affirmative action for everybody that has a color other than white? Because she's making the argument, look, if we are going to look at society and content of character and look at it that way and merit-based and all this stuff, because affirmative action is facing an onslaught right now, an onslaught. They want Howard University, which is historically black, to not favor black people. And she's saying, if you're going to make that argument strictly on the basis of color in your skin, it's going to be a loser for Howard. But if we can make the argument that we are favoring people who were historically disadvantaged, then maybe we can keep going with affirmative action. I hear her struggle in this writing. I'd love to interview her. Maybe we'll get her on the show. Because I hear what she's trying to say, and she's taking it back to the roots of affirmative action itself. So I'm wondering, you as a black man, do you think that that's an okay argument, or do you think that black people should still say no? It's the color of our skin, regardless of our historical situation. What do you think?
I think that she is absolutely on the right track, because once again, if you're looking at the people that this happened to in our country, and we could name our indigenous people here.
She includes Native Americans. She literally, that's the only other subgroup she includes.
Because they're the only ones that had everything taken away. And look, when we talk about creating laws from a national scale, we're not talking about a city, a national scale that says, this is what you have to abide by. There are always, you know, white Americans, good people, who knew that this was wrong. And so at the same time that that happened, we had the abolitionists, we had people fighting this. Affirmative action came around in the 70s because it was like, it was an acknowledgement by the government, because literally, what was the civil rights movement about? 65 and 63 and 62, what was that about? It was about an indifference and a continuing an oppression of black people. And that at that point, there weren't many Latinos here. It wasn't about Puerto Rico. It wasn't about Mexico. It was primarily about black people. So the remedy that she's talking about makes sense. Now, at this point, are there other people being, quote, discriminated against? Yes, that would be a whole nother population that they would have to look at, because that's what the Society of America is now perpetuating, it, and it's leaking over into other nationalities. But the original people who were hurt and had the most damage done were absolutely those of slave and black descent.
And Indians, and what as, we would call well Indians. And my Native American friends call themselves Indians, so I'm trying not to insult anybody.
Not a problem.
We're going to be right back. More with Wayne Winston. Stay tuned. And welcome back. We're here with Wayne Winston. We're going to wrap it up until noon, so we've only got a few minutes together. So, Wayne, welcome back. So we were talking, just as a recap, at 203-333-9422 about this sort of new intellectual argument being made by somebody, I think her name is Nicole Hannah, who wrote a very extensive piece and argued that instead of throwing away affirmative action, which she's clearly afraid is going to be thrown away, that the better course is to look at, well, how did affirmative action come to be? And she talks about it in great depth. And she said it was clearly meant to favorably try and remedy some of the historical deprivations of people that had been enslaved and their descendants. And therefore, instead of drawing this wide brush of all people of color and all people that have been disadvantaged, and goodness knows, if we look at America not as a melting pot but as a salad, almost every group can argue sure. with some legitimacy that there have been some discrimination against them in history.
Mm-hmm.
She says that African Americans are special. They were enslaved, and those descendants, and we know who they are,
yes,
should be the people that are the beneficiaries of affirmative action and not other people.
Well, that's, I think, but again, you know,
except for indigenous people.
Court is about the people who are harmed. Now, there's people outside that circle, but clearly the descendants thereof. I think the hard part will wind up happening is when you try to find some people's roots. Because back then, purposely, they changed your names.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lot of things that were like that that makes it very, very, very difficult. So,
but most people can find out somehow. You don't think so?
Not in the black community. It is one of the most horrible things, I think, as part of reparations, that they do that for every.
Mr. Gates ought to clone himself.
Make that happen.
Professor Gates has to clone himself. He's got to do roots everywhere.
So, yes, black people, we need that because
now, your
of what
name,
happened.
Wayne Winston, you've told us before, and I know we've only got a minute to wrap up, but you were descended from slaves. Is that right?
Yes.
On both sides, your mother and your father?
As far as I know, and I have to get the in-depth because we have a lot of oral history.
Right.
You know, there was a white guy, Mr. Winston, at least in my grandfather's time, great-grandfather's time, and we're working on that. Now, because of that,
and you're from
specific
the South,
thing,
and your people are
my
from
mom
the South.
My mom is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
My dad was from West Virginia.
Okay.
And as I discuss this, I want to plug in Howard University and places like that.
Yeah.
The attack of something like this says we should get rid of Howard University.
That's right.
When black people couldn't get into those schools. So now you're talking about removing the very place that's the only place that we had to go to get an education, which wound up being where Thurgood Marshall had to go.
And that's what she's afraid of.
And if you take those away, because again, it was not an accident. The focus was to take black people and not allow them to get the benefits of the American dream.
We're going
to
keep talking about this, Wayne Winston. Thanks so much for joining us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. And as always, feel free to contact me at Lisa@lisawexler.com.